Welcome to another episode of Before You Kill Yourself with your host, Leo Flowers. I am Leo Flowers. There's always that question, is the glass empty? Is it half full? Is it half empty? How do you see the glass? And I just realized that it's actually passing a judgment on the glass. The glass is still the glass, no matter if it's half empty, half full, three quarters full, if it's completely empty. Did I say that already? No matter what the state of its fullness is inside, the property of the glass remains the same. And I thought about that because it denotes the idea of, hey, I have a wife, I have kids, I have a house, I have a job, I have status. Those are all things that we can fill our glass with. I have friends, I have things to do this weekend, I have an awesome car. All right, great. Our glass just looks so full. But it doesn't change the material structure of the glass, right? Like, I don't know what glass is made up of. Now that I'm thinking of that, what is glass made of? What are the elements? Okay, the glass most people are familiar with is soda lime glass, which is a combination of soda, which I didn't know, limestone, and sand. So no matter how full the glass is and what we put in there, the glass is still soda, limestone, and sand. And I think what happens is we look at the things that are in our glass, how much is in there, how little is in there, and we think that it's a reflection of who we are and what we are and how we value ourselves, right? Like, if I have a bunch of status in my glass, a bunch of money in my glass, then that means I'm valuable. If people like me, if my parents say they love me every day, if I get phone calls all the time, or I get all these likes on my tweet, oh, my glass is so full. Yeah, but you're still the glass. You're still soda, limestone, and sand. And here's what's interesting. And here's what I find interesting is I think that sometimes we think about addiction, food, sex, drugs, alcohol, porn, whatever you're trying to fill yourself with, whatever that empty void is in you, and you're like, I just can't seem to get enough. Like, no matter what I'm putting in my glass, it seems that I'm still running on empty. It's like, I remember I had a car. And I had an oil leak, and every time I had to buy like five containers of oil because I couldn't afford to get it fixed, right? But I could afford to buy a number of containers of oil to keep refilling it whenever it drained out. And I think that when we get to that place in our life where we're not able to fill our glass with the things that we think adds value to us, like the accomplishments, the external things, the family, the way we look, our vanity, our fame, all those things, our finances, then we think that we are no longer soda, limestone, and sand. We think that it's changed us in some way, like, we can't show up. We can't go to the party anymore. And that may be true on some level, right? Where, hey, if you're not making a certain amount of money, maybe you can't get into certain clubs. Certain people stop calling you because you don't have the fame that, oh, your show got canceled, or maybe you have an injury, and now you can't be as active as you used to be, and now friends don't want to hang around you anymore. You got a disease, or you went through a divorce, or you just got out of jail, or you're going, like, whatever it is, all these things don't change the fact that we are soda, limestone, and sand. And so here's what's beautiful is we can start to feel like we're broken or cracked, right? It's like, Leo, I keep putting all these things in my glass, and it just seems to be a hole at the bottom of it, just like with my car, where the oil just kept dripping out of there. But here's the beautiful thing about glass, right? Because every time we're presented with, is the glass half full or half empty, and we see water in the glass. And if we're trying to put water in a glass that is cracked or has a little hole in it, then the water's going to seep out. We're always going to feel empty. So if we're putting things into our container, into our body, if we're filling our lives with things that our life, that our makeup cannot hold, that structure of who we are cannot hold, we will always feel empty or unfulfilled, right? Now imagine that same glass with a crack in it that the water was seeping out through, or if it had a little hole in it and the water was seeping out through there. What if we put marbles in the glass, right? What if we put rocks or stones or paper clips unblown up balloons. I know that was like a random thing. Or tennis balls. Could the glass could hold that? Could it contain that? And so we have to get creative. When we are trying to fill our lives with things, and at the end of the day, we still feel empty, unfulfilled, lonely, disconnected, like we're not enough, like we haven't done enough, then maybe we have to look at, what are we filling our glass with? Because our glass can hold a number of things: magnets, socks, pens and pencils. But if we're stuck on a glass is just made to hold water, then we're going to keep circling back to the things that the food, the drugs, the sex, the alcohol, the binge watching, the whatever, and then we're like, I still feel empty. It's not filling that void. I have to buy, you know, 5 containers of oil to feel fulfilled. And it could be a challenge to figure out what that is. A lot of us, you know, it's so hard to pivot because we go, but Leo, I've been in medical school for 8 years. I've been trying to fill my life with that. You're telling me to drop out of school? Like I've got so much money invested in this, and I have my school loans are through the roof, or I told everybody I was going to do this thing, and now I have to do it even though I really don't want to do it. You know, whatever that is. Or I've made such a living. I have such a community built off that. And it doesn't fulfill me, but I don't want to lose the community. So we have to get creative and be willing to let go of what we've been filling our glass with and discover new ways of using our glass. Because whatever we put in there, we're still soda, limestone, and sand. It doesn't change who we are. We just have to be creative and expand our perspective as to what we can do. You know, I've met people who, you know, like my Uber driver, I remember was from Nigeria, and he was a doctor over there. And that's who he was. That's how he filled his glass. Then he comes to America. They don't honor his doctorate. So now he's driving Uber, and he kind of has to start all over. That's an extreme example. But the you know, we have people who are migrating from different countries, and they were filling their glass in with a certain routine and ritual and way of life and connection to being, and now we have to find other ways to fill that void. Now, on the flip side, here's the other flip side. Sometimes we part of the suffering of feeling empty or feeling like there's a void within us is that we think that that means there's something wrong with us. There's something broken. We're not like the other glasses that don't have cracks, right? I had a crack in my windshield, and I replaced the windshield because the crack was just going to get bigger and bigger. You know, that whole spider web crack. Now there are also ways to repair the glass, right? Like we can't just swap out our bodies and our life and our experiences for an entirely new body and consciousness and all that thing. Like, so we have to figure out how do we repair those cracks within us that might be leading to the feeling of a void, right? You know, I mean, if you've had some traumatic, and I hate to use the word traumatic, but, you know, some of our childhood experiences can make us feel like there's something broken or off, you know, depending on how your parents talk to you or your friends. If you have some unresolved emotions that you've been suppressing, like grief or anger or shame, and you haven't really found a way to communicate that or resolve that or make amends. If there's like someone that you're running from, I just recently paid off some debt that I owe to people. And I tell you, what a levity that came with that. What a lightness and a joy. And also what a purpose it gave me. It was so painful. I owed a lot of money to a few people and I had been avoiding the payback. And now I'm like, man, and as painful as it was to pay, you know, my brain goes, man, you could have did this, you could have did that. But I said I was going to pay them back and I did it. And in the process of doing it, it gave me purpose. There were times where I wanted to end my life. Like I thought about it so hard. And just the rage, and I called the 988. I talked to my therapist, like, there was just so much swelling up within me. I felt like I was on fire from the inside. And I remembered, I go, but Leo, you can't, because you have to pay these people back. I go, pay these people back, because it's ridiculous that you could do it. And then you end your life. It's like, take care of this and then see how you feel. Do this, clean up your mess, and then see where you're at mentally. See if this, maybe the weight of this debt is contributing to some of the pain and the burden and the suffering that we're feeling, the despair, the heaviness. See where you're at after you take care of a couple things instead of making this decision under the weight of that. Because, you know, I had the agency, fortunately, and the autonomy to be able to take steps to resolve those issues. So we have to look at see how we can repair our childhood experiences, those unresolved emotions, the relationship issues. I was on a cruise ship recently. Actually, I just got off today, and there was this guy. Mark is his name, and he's on his third wife. The first two wives cleaned him out. Like, he went on a trip, came back, wife took everything out the house, sold it. It's all gone. And then shut him out his bank accounts, left him with, took like almost $500,000 from him, right? And then he still had to pay like child support or alimony or what have you. Like it was just, and he said that the pain was so unbearable, the despair, that he actually checked himself in to a psychiatric ward. He was like, he was so on the verge of making final decisions that he checked himself in. And I thought that was such a beautiful thing to do, to have that wherewithal of like, what's happening in my life is too much for me to cope with. I'm going to check myself in. And now he's 78, somewhere up in there, and still going. He's on his third wife. He realized that he was trying to fill his life with a certain type of woman that every time was damaging to who he was sabotaging what he built, and it was based on superficiality and artificial criteria. And now the wife that he has now is someone who gives his life meaning and purpose, and there's a true sense of connection. He said, I married my best friend. So this goes back to, it's part of your despair, your struggle, your pain, filling your life with people, products, or some type of accomplishments or whatever that really does not fulfill you, that's only been hurting you, sabotaging you, or just making you feel like you're going against the grain. It's going against the who you are naturally, and you're doing this for other people, right? You're like, well, other people like this, so I'll do this. And this is a small example. This is such a ridiculous example. Today, as I was getting off the cruise ship to fly back to San Diego, I was like, oh, I need to wear these shoes because people will see me. I wear white shoes on stage, then I have some gym shoes. And the outfit that I selected to wear, I was like, man, it goes much better with the white shoes. But I was like, those are going to be uncomfortable to be walking around in all day, because I knew I was going to be spending a lot of time standing in line and walking around. And then I thought, but man, you know, if the people from the cruise ship, they need to see me always looking good and suited and booted. And I said, Leo, you know what? Those people don't care about you. And what's more important is that you're comfortable and that you can get from A to B, and we don't want to scuff up the stage shoes. That's ridiculous. And then, you know, I tell you what, once I put on my gym shoes and stuff, I realize people ain't really paying attention to me like that. And if they are, then those are people who probably aren't going to serve me. I'm not going to feel a connection with, because they are looking at is the glass half full or half empty versus just marveling at the glass itself. Just being like, oh, that sand, limestone, and soda, or like soda ash, right? So the fear sometimes that we have of letting go is like, oh man, I don't want to lose my friends or these people or this, but if you really dug deep, you may find that it's preventing you from filling your life with the things that really matter to you. You know, this is another ridiculous example of, there might be music that you're really into, or a TV or foods or stuff, and you're afraid to share that with other people because you think they're going to make fun of you. And so you just continue to consume what everybody else is consuming to feel a part of. Maybe you're drinking and you don't even like to drink, or you don't like that type of alcohol. Maybe it slows you down the next day, gives you a headache, but you're like, ah, my friends drink, my coworkers drink, I need to network, I have to go to happy hour, those kind of things. So you go, I'm drinking so that I can connect with these people, and then maybe I'll get a promotion and yada yada. But maybe you're in a job that doesn't even fulfill you. So maybe it's not even just about the alcohol not fulfilling you. It may even be the job or the type of job that's not fulfilling you. So now you're finding yourself overextending in these other areas. You're you're going against yourself in these other areas. So in closing and wrapping up, what I really hope that you take away from this is the fact that ask yourself, take time to reflect. In order for us to repair what our sources of emptiness, loneliness, despair, disconnection, all of those things, is we, one, have to take time to reflect on our past. You can do this through journaling, through talking to other people, through a coach, but find a way to reflect and reconnect with the part of you, the who you really want to be in the world. We talk so much about what you want to be, but it's like, who do you want to be? How do you want to show up? And stand by that. You know, when I was on a cruise ship, there was the other comic, and he always wore a suit on stage. And I've thought about wearing a suit on stage and really, but I was like, that's not who I want to be. I want to be accepted and loved for the way I dress, the way I appear, and that's who I am. You know, and a ridiculous example is when I was sitting down eating, and I have different ways I hold my fork, right? And this lady was sitting across from me. I met her on the cruise ship. 72 years old. We really were having some really in-depth conversations, and she was like, you know, my grandson holds his fork the way you do. And I sometimes I grab it with the overhand grip and I shovel the food in my mouth. And she said, I've been on my grandson about using that overhand grip and telling him to use the underhand grip to grip it properly so that people don't judge him. But now that I see that you use the overhand grip and I respect you because of the conversations we've had, I'm no longer going to pressure my son about how he holds the fork. And so, once again, by giving ourselves permission to be ourselves, by validating who we are, by understanding why we do the things we do, and by standing by that, we give other people permission to be who they are. And also the other thing that I want you to take away is there are so many options, so many different things that we can fill our life with to get that connection, to feel accepted, to have that meaning and that purpose in our life. And I encourage you to explore other options, to see other ways, take classes, read different magazines, talk to different people of different cultures, go to a different church to explore, like, what it, you go, wow, these are my people. You may have been born in a place that doesn't really, they don't really get you. You know, if you're a bookworm and you're born into a family that they don't really, you know, read books, and maybe you live in a neighborhood, there's no library, there's no bookstore, like there's no intellectual stimulation, then you might be like, oh, well, this sucks. I'll just do what everybody else is doing. Or you can make that your purpose to, how do I find or how do I create an intellectual space so that I feel held and seen and heard and connected? Remember, it's not if the glass is half full or half empty, it's the fact that no matter what's in that glass and how much of it there is in there, it's still glass. You, no matter what you do, what you say, how you fill your life, you are still soda, limestone, and sand. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Remember, this podcast is not a substitute for you calling the 988 or any of the other 800 numbers listed in all the show notes. You can chat, talk, text. Go to thrivewithleo.com for one-on-one coaching with yours truly. That's right, thrivewithleo.com for one-on-one coaching with yours truly. Let's get to tomorrow together.